All comments, views, and opinions expressed during the following program do not reflect the views of this station. All topics discussed are meant for educational purposes only. Talk with your doctor before starting any new treatments. Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned to find out how you can open your mind to new possibilities in life.
Welcome to this week's edition of Tell the Truth Faster. My name is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles. And every week we discuss topics related to mental health issues from a more holistic perspective, which means body, mind, and spiritual connections with the idea to me of therapy as well as life in general, obviously, that we reach a sense of balance, that if we're dealing with what the mind's doing, how the body interacts and contributes to communicating to us and reacting to what we're repressing or thinking or believing, and how all of that comes into play to keep us more disconnected from our spiritual selves, however we want to define that, whether we're dealing with the word God, higher power, spirituality, or love. And with tomorrow being Valentine's Day, that's exactly what tonight's topic is. It is intimacy in relationships, or what's love got to do with it? What has love got to do with it? Tell the truth faster. To me, more than anything, the most important factor in expressing a higher level of intimacy is learning to tell the truth faster. Our ability to move through the fears, the anger, the discomfort, by realizing our truths more quickly and expressing them in a quicker fashion is a tool that keeps us clear and more in present time and always connected. And connection to me is the definition of intimacy. To me, my definition of intimacy is that it's an expression of our natural desire for connection. Intimacy is an expression of our natural desire for connection. And this is a real important factor. So tomorrow is St. Valentine's Day. And some of you listening out there, and I encourage you to call in and remind you that this is a live show, call-in show. Many of you, like myself, are single. And in all honesty, it has crossed my mind. Here's another Valentine's Day, and I don't have that honey, that romantic involvement. And, you know, I'm a therapist. I do a lot of work on myself. But in all honesty, it does cross my mind the thought, what's wrong with me that I'm not in a relationship right now? And even though on a deep level, I know there's nothing wrong with me, I'm just not in a relationship right now, I still have to be conscious and be honest with myself that those thoughts still pass my mind. Pass through my mind, and the judgments are still there. And I'm sure there are plenty of you listening out there that whether or not you're in a relationship can get and understand that there are underlying core beliefs, thoughts that go through your mind, whether you're conscious of them or not, that keep the problems, that keep the separation and the disconnection going, whether you're in a relationship, whether you're single, whatever it is, that there's stuff going on in your mind, like, what's wrong with me that I'm not in a relationship? Something must be wrong with me. And or I'm not lovable, or I'm not worthy, or all of those types of things. People can be in loving relationships and still believe that they're not worthy or they're not lovable, and that in itself causes more problems in the within the context of the relationship. There is a lot I'm going to talk about tonight in terms of the difference between love versus romance or romantic love. And there's an article that I read in the February edition of Lesbian News here in Los Angeles, written by Diane Katz, who writes a column called Lifestyles, and the title of the column is Love Really Grand? And she writes, typically love turns out to be the stuff dreams are made of when two people are very similar in a particular area, but it really comes down to this, the commonalities in both partners' belief systems. In other words, what similar values each partner has may determine how their relationship will go and if it will last. If a couple's core beliefs and values are in complete agreement, it stands to reason that they will be much happier and more content with their relationship. However, if their beliefs are in opposition to each other, distrust and unhappiness may be set in, and the relationship could fizzle in a short amount of time. Core beliefs, as she defines it, are the way you believe at such a deep level that it becomes the only show in town. And it doesn't mean core beliefs can't be changed. Sometimes we have core beliefs like, I'm not lovable and I'm not worthy, or I'm destined to be alone the rest of my life, even though everyone else is always going to have a relationship. Those are core beliefs. Those core beliefs can be changed. That's the whole point of therapy. That's the whole point of inner work. That's the whole point of everything we talk about on the show, is the fact that these things, that change is possible. And yet many of us get into a place of total hopelessness about this because it goes on too long. There is another article in Frontiers, the February 15th edition of Frontiers, which is a gay newspaper here in Los Angeles and in San Francisco. And Tom Moon, who's a psychotherapist in San Francisco, writes, some of the unhappiest people I've ever met are people who spend their lives waiting, wishing, and longing to be rescued by some wonderful lover who is supposed to drop in out of the blue while neglecting the things they can do for themselves here and now. One proactive thing you can do immediately is to develop a little healthy skepticism that the idea that being in love is the only way to feel happy and fulfilled in your life. And I like what he does. The title of his article is A Valentine for the Single, The Religion of Romanticism and the Many Faces of Love. He goes on to say, as I've written before, I'm convinced that romanticism is really the dominant religion of our culture. I like that. Romanticism is really the dominant religion of our culture. This faith, the conviction that romantic love makes us whole, transforms us in a way that no other experience can, and confers perfect happiness forever after. This magical belief is a supernatural destiny or faith that guides us to our soulmates. This religion probably has more influence on our day-to-day lives than Christianity does. Hollywood would go bankrupt without it. It may be hogwash, but it's popular hogwash. I think there's an important thing there, because how many of you feel that you're incomplete without a mate? And there's another article, actually, Sunday's Los Angeles Times had in the opinion section, under anthropology, actually, what is this thing we call love? And this I really like because it gives a history of some of it. Going back to mythology, according to Greek, this is written by Charles Lindholm, according to Greek legend, cited by Plato in the Symposium, human beings were originally starfish-like creatures with four arms, four legs, and two sets of sexual organs. Each human being was complete unto itself. Then, because of their pride and ambition, humans were split in half by the gods, which is why we now spend our lives searching for that other half, compulsively seeking unity in the arms of another. Again, that sense of, I'll be complete when I meet Mr. Right or Ms. Right or whatever it is you're looking for, or gay or straight. He goes on to say, that's one way of looking at that most intimate quest we call falling in love, although not probably one you'll find expressed in greeting card sentiments as Valentine's Day approaches. What the Greeks meant by love and what we mean by it are far different things. The Greeks and the Romans, after them, saw passionate love as a kind of dangerous illness. It could tear respectable young people away from their families and draw them into disadvantageous affairs with inappropriate mates. It could make adults act like fools. Such passions had to be rigorously guarded against, and they certainly had no place in the relationship between husband and wife. As the Roman philosopher Seneca wrote, quote, "Nothing is more depraved than to love one's wife as if she were a mistress." For he goes on to say, "For modern Americans, in contrast, romantic love is the highest attainment. We celebrate it in song, our poets and novelists chronicle its pains and pleasures, our movies present love stories that ordinary people attempt to emulate. Such passionate love leads naturally, we assume, to marriage and a family. It is what binds a man and a woman together as a couple. It makes the world go round. It is seen as an essential human need." So here I've read an article from more mainstream Los Angeles Times, an article from a gay magazine called Frontiers, written by Tom Moon, and a piece from Lesbian News, and all three of them are basically saying the same thing, that it is, in my opinion, interpreting it as that romanticism is not necessarily what love is about. It is what most of us go to live in fantasy and to find that magic that we see so well in literature and films, in poetry, finds that magic that all of a sudden will make us whole and complete, as the Greeks said, you know, when they were cut in half, and everybody's been looking for that connection again, that reconnection, that sense of completion. And phrases like "my other half" are common in our culture. "My better half," things like that, again, minimize your own sense of empowerment and sense of self-worth, whether you're single or whether you're in a relationship. This is the most important stuff, especially as we approach a holiday that deals with love, that deals with relationship. How many of you remember being in school when Valentine cards were handed out? I remember in the 50s and 60s when we would be giving out Valentine's cards. Well, it was really painful because some kids got a stack of them, like everyone in the class gave them one, and other kids were lucky if they got one or two. I realize that may not happen today, that we're much more conscious about the pain that's being inflicted on the kids, but, you know, it still goes on in the school. The Valentine cards, the kids are already being taught something's wrong with them if they don't get a lot of Valentine's cards. There's something wrong with them if they're not the most popular kid in the school. There's something wrong with them if at that early age they're not somebody's Valentine, that they're not already romantically involved. I mean, just look at fashion and movies already that are about younger people and children. I mean, it's already making them into adults, emulating the same types of dysfunctional belief systems that those of us grew up with and are living as adults. So remember, this is a live call-in show. I'm hoping that I am stimulating some thoughts or maybe triggering some emotions you feel like talking about. So we're going to take a short break, and I will continue discussing love, relationships, romance when we come back.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break. Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
Dad, it's for you. It's one of those credit card companies again. What should I tell them?
Tell them I'm not home right now, honey.
What are you doing? Teaching your daughter how to lie?
Well, we don't have any money to pay them, and those creditors are just so demanding. I don't know what to say to them. Look, I don't know what to do. Our debts are just out of control.
Well, we better do something, and quick.
If you're buried in debt with all the accompanying stresses and problems it brings, then call Financial Freedom International right away. They have helped thousands of people find permanent solutions to their problems and have over 12 years of experience helping people just like you. Just call toll-free 1-888-595-5621. If needed, Financial Freedom is affiliated with a nonprofit foundation which can get you immediate relief by getting your payments and interest rates lower and consolidate all your bills to one convenient payment you can afford without borrowing more money. Call Financial Freedom now, toll free at 1-888-595-5621 and get the help you need from people who really care. Once again, that's 1-888-595-5621. Call now.
Waking Up in America is a radio magazine exclusively heard on KFNX every Monday at 9 a.m. The editors and guests celebrate causing powerful and playful planetary conversation that makes a difference. Waking Up in America rocks with great ideas, information, fabulous relationships, and progressively provocative interviews. This is one program you don't want to miss. So please join us every Monday at 9 a.m. for an hour of fun, information, and inquiry.
711. Three numbers. That's all it takes.
This is Arizona Relay.
I need to make a call to a deaf person. I have her phone number, but I was told to dial 711.
Yes, 711 makes it possible to connect by phone with deaf or hard of hearing people who use a special typing device to talk on the phone.
So, I dial 711 and then give you the number of the person I want to call?
Absolutely. Let me place your call now.
Dial 711, a service of Arizona Relay, and it costs you nothing.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight's topic, appropriately enough, since tomorrow's St. Valentine's Day, is intimacy and relationships. And my subtitle for this is, What's Love Got to Do with It? Obviously, I'm a firm believer in love, and love takes all forms. What we're actually focusing on a little bit more tonight is the difference between true love and romance. Now, romance certainly can be an expression of somebody's very deep, heartfelt connection to another human being, and that other human being feeling the same in return, and that sense of romance being very genuine and being real. And I define that romance as, again, an expression of one's real sense of love and connection towards another individual. And there are a lot of different ways of being romantic. Everybody, as many individuals as there are in the world, there are different approaches and expressions and desires towards romance, whether it's a candlelight dinner or a walk on the beach, or whether a romantic expression for somebody is a card, some flowers, or just cleaning their apartment for them. You know, so romance can take many forms. But romance can also be a fantasy place that people can choose to go to, very much like drugs, alcohol, sex. You know, in a sense, we're talking about love addiction. That sense of being lost in romance and thinking that if I only had that person to have a romance with, then I'll be whole and complete. And too many people then lose themselves in that need and that desire and actually end up believing and convincing themselves that they have something with someone that really isn't mutual and isn't there. So, you know, this whole issue of romance versus love, is a very important thing to do. Even Tom Moon continues in his article, some might object that this whole issue is hogwash, but don't all major religions make love the ultimate value? Well, maybe, but Romanticism is a particularly modern faith. None of the major historical traditions ever endorsed it as the road to heaven. When the great spiritual teacher said love is the answer, they really weren't talking about finding a boyfriend. And going back to Charles Lindholm from the piece in the LA Times this past Sunday, What Is This Thing Called Love? He gets very clear with this. What he writes is, here's the big question. Why should that choice of a mate be surrounded by a cloud of romance? Why don't men simply choose the best gatherer, the best childbearer? Why do women not automatically select the male most likely to bring down the prey and feed the household? These questions are at the core of a very old debate about the nature of romantic love. On one side are those who believe that all the fuss and bother, all the romance and adoration, are just a cover for something much more fundamental, sexual desire. Romantic love, they contend, is simply a mask that makes lust respectable. The other side insists that love exists as its own highest end. Lovers love not because they wish to gain sexual pleasure, but because love bestows the ultimate value on both lover and beloved. Romance, they believe, is something akin to worship. Or perhaps Plato was right, he continues. What we are looking for in love is only symbolized by sex. It is really something far more powerful. Completion. Again, it gets back to saying, if I only had someone to love, then I'd feel whole and complete. My life's not whole and complete unless I'm in a relationship. If I'm not in a relationship, we continue our thoughts, something's wrong with us. And in dealing with things that way, of course, we're doing ourselves a great disservice. But think for a moment about a relationship maybe you're in right now, or your most recent relationship. How long ago is that? Think for a moment. What thoughts came into your mind? What things interfered with your ability to connect with one another, to be honest with one another? What fears arise even at the thought of being in a relationship? Think hard on that for a while, because this is really what gets most of us into a great deal of difficulty and keeps us feeling very lonely. And again, it's a natural thing to desire connection. It's a natural thing to be part of a relationship in many different forms, part of a greater whole, a sense of family, you know, whether it's a blood family or an extended family by choice, whether it's a sense of family you have at work, whether it is a club you belong to, whatever it is. But there's a difference between that genuine connection and what many people do when they're in terror of intimacy, terror of really making a connection, terror of really being seen for who they are because they don't believe there's much value to it. And so they convince themselves that sex and more superficial things are what they really want or what they can only have. And again, a lot of sex addicts, a lot of other addicts too, will divide sex and love. They can do love. They can open their hearts and love in certain ways, certain types of relationships. They can have sex all they want and have a great time, at least momentarily. But bringing it together in the same person, in the same relationship, sex and love, is a very difficult thing to do because it means sustained intimacy. It means sustained risk-taking. It means sustained vulnerability. It means sustained joy if you really allow yourself to connect with it and experience it. And again, if you get back to the belief, I'm not lovable, I'm not deserving, I'm bad, or whatever the beliefs are that you grew up with, then you don't even believe you deserve that sustained joy. Think for a minute how you're keeping yourself right now in the context of your current relationship, your most recent one, or even staying single. How you keep yourself from experiencing any sense of sustained joy. It's a very important concept. It's a very important thing to know that all of us desire joy and deserve joy. And we're going to take a break right now and come back and be joyful. So stay tuned and we'll see you in a few minutes.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
Absolute Storage is the brand new boat RV storage facility located near Elliott Road and I-10. They've got over 300 empty spaces that they want to fill up now by offering you huge discounts. Absolute Storage is taking 50% off their already competitive rates. That means they have storage spaces starting at just $19.95 per month. Call them at 480-768-1618 or visit them at their website at absoluterv.com. And that's not all. If you have the space at home for your boat, RV, or extra vehicle but are concerned about exposure to the elements, Absolute Storage offers a range of pre-engineered steel carports and garages starting at $986 or finance at $29 per month upon approved credit. Once again, that's Absolute Storage at 480-768-1618 or go to www.absoluterv.com.
The spectrum of feelings is vast in everyone, but the ability to recognize and communicate them to others, or even to oneself, differs from person to person. In order to develop this necessary skill, it is helpful to discover the relationship of feelings to our attitudes, beliefs, and choices. The Attitude Hour, hosted by me, Dr. Alexandra, is a show dedicated to young people and the adults who care about them. It is a platform to express feelings and share thoughts about how attitudes affect the quality of life. That's the Attitude Hour with the Attitude Doc, Monday afternoon at 3 only on Hot Talk, AM 1100, KFNX.
What's up? This is Warren G, you know what I'm saying? I'm here giving it up for Rad because they do a lot of good things for people. And I just want to say, before you drink, make sure that anybody that can drive your butt home. So go ahead and follow the rules, and everything will be cool. And don't be no fools. Peace, baby, Warren G.
A reminder that friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Here's your current Hot Talk 1100 KFNX weather forecast, heard at the top and bottom of every hour.
Hi, this is Tom Likas. Tune into the Tom Likas Show weekdays from 4 until 8, right here on Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altschuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight's topic is intimacy in relationships, or what's love got to do with it? And mostly this time, we've been talking more about romantic love versus love and the emphasis that our society and culture puts on our self-worth in terms of whether we're mated or not, whether we're in relationship or not, and, you know, what our families put on it. I mean, if, you know, in some cases, like I know a lot of, you know, gay men or lesbians are dealing with the fact that there's no worth that they get from their family unless they're actually in a relationship with someone of the opposite sex. And why? Because, you know, partly is has a lot of different reasons, but part of that reason is culturally and sociologically, anthropologically, you know, the whole idea of mating is, and in certain terms, is to produce babies. And there are certain cultures and certain parents that only find value if you're giving them grandparents, grandchildren, if you're passing on the gene pool, if you're procreating and expanding the religion you grew up with, you know, all those sort of things. And so there's less value placed if either you're not married and heterosexual, or in a relationship and living together but not married, if you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, whatever, if the relationship is not seen as valuable in some way, shape, or form to the family system, then you're faced with dealing with rejection, feeling like your relationship is not as valued or important as, say, your siblings' relationships who may be heterosexual. Even if yours is long-term, healthy, loving, and, you know, an incredible relationship, and your siblings' relationships may be going from divorce to divorce and stuff like that, I've seen families that still will not acknowledge the value of their child's gay or lesbian relationship. You know, it sounds insane, but it's where they're stuck. It's that whole issue of core values that I read from Diane Katz's article from the Lesbian News. So, again, core values can be changed, and it's important that we identify them. But sometimes the core values of the family system are more resistant to change. There's a real desire to maintain it because everybody's used to it, and that's what family systems, you know, are about. People get familiar. Everybody's defined through a certain role and identity within the family system, and if somebody starts to make changes in that, very often they're met with a great deal of judgment and resistance and an attempt to get them back into their own sense of identity as everyone else needs them to have it. So Tom Moon goes on to say that when we're obsessed with relationship, romantic love, when we treat it as the only thing in life worth pursuing and neglect our other values, then we actually take seriously the awful idea that, quote, you're nobody till somebody loves you, unquote. Then we create ourselves a load of completely needless and avoidable anguish, loneliness, and despair. If you've fallen into this trap, and I like what he does here, it might be useful to reflect for a few minutes on what you'd do if you could look into a crystal ball and know for certain that you would never have another romantic relationship for the rest of your life. And if you're listening, take a breath on that one. I think it's the terror all of us want to avoid. If you looked into a crystal ball and knew for certain that you would never have another romantic relationship for the rest of your life, how would you live in the light of that knowledge? Once you got over the initial hopelessness and the temptation to hang yourself from the nearest tree, what would you pursue instead? He says, I sometimes ask people I talk with to do this thought exercise. And I find that it sometimes actually does help them to begin focusing on goals that have some possibility of leading to real happiness and life satisfaction. And again, if we're fixated on something that we don't have and stuck in the fear that it's the only thing that will give us worth, then we're not allowing ourselves to access the power within us that keeps us alive, that sustains us, that is that light inside of us, that is love. And it keeps us from fully expressing that sense of ourselves as loving beings in the world. Because again, if the belief is, I'm only okay if somebody loves me and I love them back and I'm in a relationship, then there's almost a sense of feeling like a fraud if you go out there being a loving spirit and a great soul and doing good things, because you haven't worked through those core beliefs that Diane Katz talks about in terms of getting past the things that hold you back from being all that you can be and really connecting with the power that exists within you, that comes from spirit, that is of spirit, so that you're actually in the world as a loving light, as a spiritual loving light. Now this, to me, is one of the core purposes of what therapy is about. And like I said, whatever healing path you're on, it's what it's about, is helping us reconnect with a part of us that as newborns was naturally fully being expressed by us, a total light of innocence and love. And many of us, through years and years of conditioning and messages and stuff, forgot who we are. And the whole point of therapy is just to help you remember who you really are, that you're not all of those things that people over the years told you you were, that you're not the what you consider failures that happened in school or anything like that. That's not who you really are. Who you really are is that being that is here, that has something more important to do, even if you're not sure what it is yet. And if you want to just simplify it, what you hear, what's the most important thing you're here to do, I'm here to do, everyone's here to do, is to love and be loved in every way, shape, and form. And that may be through the work that you do, whether you're a teacher, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a financial planner, whether you're a writer, whatever. It's about bringing as much of that light into it to instill confidence and comfort to the people that you're serving and working with, and to bring a greater sense of joy and a sense of purpose to what you're doing. I actually met one of my neighbors tonight for the first time, even though I've lived in this house for 3 years. And he's a writer, and his wife's a graphic artist. And before he professionally became a writer, he told me he was an attorney. Now, the one thing I've learned over the years is that the legal profession is probably ranks up there with the profession that most people who become lawyers dislike what they do the most. I don't know if that came out right or not, but it's the best way I could do it right now. I know more former attorneys and more attorneys that don't like what they do for a living. Now, that doesn't mean, because I know plenty of attorneys that love what they do. So, and obviously, there's a lot of good purposes to having lawyers in the world, even though a lot of people might argue that point. But when he was an attorney, he was telling me it was a dark thing. There was no joy in it. He didn't enjoy it. What he enjoyed was law school. He loved the stimulation of the arguments and the learning and the exchanges that went on and the challenges of figuring out, you know, cases and all this other stuff. But when he became a lawyer, it's like the light went out. And what he had to do was figure out, what's going to turn on my light? What am I really here to do? And for him, it was writing, the television, film, things like that. And so he stopped being a lawyer, and he became a writer. and he loves what he does. And that's what we're all here to do, is to figure out what our passion is, what that light is, and to live it, whether or not we're in a relationship, so that that passion becomes our romantic relationship. We're going to take another short break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes, so stay tuned.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today. Are your employees excited? Are your customers delighted? Are your competitive moves too predictable? Are you truly building competitive distinction? If you need help with all these challenges, call PDS Group. We are seasoned professionals who work with organizations to align their expectations, reduce distractions, and build competencies that achieve competitive distinction. With our proprietary tools, we create the ownership essential for systematic change. So if you're stuck in the madness of doing the same things repeatedly and expecting different results, then perhaps it is time to change. Call PDS Group at 616-956-6153 or visit our website at www.pdsgroupinc.com.
Hey, this is Don McDowell from Shake, Rattle, and Troll. I want to tell you guys about the fine repair work that Jim Hess did on my bass boat. My bass boat looks absolutely brand new. You just can't see the repairs that Jim did. Try Phoenix Fiberglass for all your boat and jet ski repairs. Experts in structural, gel coat, and especially metal flake. Estimates are free. Insurance claims are welcome. Phoenix Fiberglass.
Call Kermit at 602-258-6505 or just stop by the shop on the Durango Curve off of the I-17 at 2341 West Sherman Street. Remember, call Kermit at 602-258-6505.
Talk to our expert hosts. In the Phoenix area, call 602-277-KFNX. Outside the Phoenix area, call toll-free 866-277-KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altschuler.
Again, welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. Tonight's topic, because of Valentine's Day tomorrow, is intimacy and relationships, and what's love got to do with it. And most of what I've been talking about tonight has to do with this concept of romantic love and how sometimes it sidetracks us and our need to be caught up in it as a way of escaping sometimes the things that we don't like about ourselves or about our life and the way it's going. Even though romantic love also can be a very wonderful, sweet expression of a real, true, loving connection that we have with another being. So one of the therapists I've been referring to tonight is Tom Moon, who's a psychotherapist in San Francisco, who wrote an article in Frontiers, a gay newspaper, in fact, this current edition, February 15th. And he closes his article, actually, because the last thing I read was that the important thing is that we have some possibility of focusing on goals that can lead to real happiness and satisfaction, okay? All of us may have different definitions of happiness and satisfaction. to me, the core of it is that you're at peace, that there's a sense of balance, that body, mind, and spirit, you know, are working together and communicating together. But there are ways that can help all of us achieve that. And these are things that, whether you're single, whether you're in relationship, this is always important things to do in order to maintain a healthy practice in one's life. Number one is take good care of your health, including eating right, getting enough sleep, and regular exercise. Number two is seek out work that you find personally satisfying and that makes a meaningful contribution to others. That's what I was just talking about with my neighbor being an attorney and becoming a writer. You know, are you doing what you really feel contributes something, something that you're here to contribute? And, you know, to me, that doesn't minimize construction workers or factory assembly line people or whatever. You know, for some people, there is satisfaction in the continuity of that, in the security of that, and in the income that it produces that also allows them to make use of the finances that allows them to go out and do other things that also are fulfilling and more community-oriented. So to me, it's not about judging a particular occupation as greater or lesser than the others. I mean, what would our communities look like if our sanitation engineers weren't removing, you know, our refuge, you know, every week? I mean, everything that everybody does that is a legitimate part of the society, I'm not talking about drug dealers or anything like that, but that's a legitimate part of a society, contributes to the mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being of that society, body, mind, and spirit. So seek out work that you find personally satisfying and find a way that either the work or your off time creates a meaningful contribution to others. Number three, strive to build a family of choice of at least 5 or 6 close friends. Strive to build a sense of connection to your blood family, if that's possible. And there's always healing that can take place either within yourself or with mom, dad, brother, sister, whoever. But it's also important, in addition to that or instead of that, that you have a family of choice of at least 5 or 6 close friends. And very often we tend to be more open and vulnerable with this family of choice, even when we are close to our blood family. And to me, it's about the importance of having that kind of intimate, safe connection. Number four, participate in the life of the community through volunteer work, political action, etc. In other words, get out of yourself. Community volunteer work is healing. It's setting an example. It's giving you an opportunity to do something beyond your own needs. And it's very healing spiritually as well as physically. Okay? Number five, give serious attention to your spiritual life. I talk about that very often on the show, without focusing on spirituality. Whether it's yoga classes, whether it's meditation, whether it's rebirthing, whether it's a daily walk, looking at nature, spirituality takes many forms. It doesn't have to be about religion. It doesn't have to have the word God in it. There's nothing wrong with that, certainly, but everybody has to define it for themselves and find that outlet that allows them to connect with an energy that they know is greater than themselves, outside and connected within themselves, too. All of these things are important. To me, that these things that Tom Moon laid out are things that I teach all the time. I think the things that we've talked about on the show, you know, very often. It's just good, practical suggestions that without doing those things, you're stuck in, why am I single? Why aren't I in a better relationship? Why don't I have a mate that's better looking? Why don't I have a mate that appreciates me more? Why are you so critical of your mate? And is that a pattern for you? In other words, as you take better care of your body, as you feel more productive in life, you also attract people that are attracted to that kind of energy and that kind of passion, who have it themselves. So stay tuned. We'll come back for some closing thoughts, and see you in a bit.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
Honey, I think it's time to give my mouth a rest.
I've been telling you that for years.
No, I'm talking about giving my mouth a complete vacation at the El Paseo Center for Cosmetic Dentistry in Palm Springs, California. Their highly skilled, caring dental team is committed to providing you with a luxurious and relaxing atmosphere. In just 1 week, you can have the smile of your dreams. Dr. Bob Marr specializes in contemporary cosmetic and restorative dentistry. Just go to his website at drbobmarr.com and see a complete list of services, not to mention the golf and beautiful scenery, whitening, implants. They can even sedate you if you have fear issues. That's El Paseo Center for Cosmetic Dentistry at www.drbobmarr.com. That's one word, drbobmarr.com.
Feet of rope that takes you from a hovering chopper to the ground below in 7.5 seconds. Hoo-ah! The Army National Guard is
your team.
You face the tough challenges together and succeed because your team is there to push you toward your goal.
Hoo-ah!
Join our team on the web at 1-800-GO-GUARD.com or call 1-800-GO-GUARD. In the Army National Guard,
you can.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard, aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, it's Imus. Listen to Imus in the Morning from 5 to 9 a.m. and Tom Likas from 4 to 8 p.m. here on Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altschuler.
Welcome back to our final segment tonight of Tell the Truth Faster on intimacy and relationships. Hopefully by now we've answered the question, what's love got to do with it? Every week, as you know, we talk about various mental health issues as it relates to relationships and a lot of different things. We've done shows on attention deficit disorder in adults, on depression, on narcissism, on psychotherapy and spirituality, and lots of different things. And I've been enjoying getting some emails from people who may not have had the courage to call in but have been emailing me, and they've been doing that through my website for the show, tellthetruthfaster.com, which will also give you an idea of upcoming shows, as well as, finally, as of a couple of weeks ago, a number of the shows are now archived in terms of streaming audio. So if you missed any shows or want to hear some pieces of something you've listened to already, you can go to that site and play back a number of the shows, and within the next week or so, we should be current. There's about 8 or 9 of the more recent shows that aren't up there yet, but I really appreciate the feedback I've been getting from some people, and continue to listen. And, of course, we do need sponsors for the show in order to keep this on the air, so if you're interested or know anybody that might be, just have them call the station. Now, we've been talking a lot about relationship and intimacy. And in the last 20 years, I've been doing a lot of work with HIV and AIDS, among other things. And in this age of AIDS, as we call it, all conscious human beings are being forced to examine their thoughts, feelings, and behavioral patterns about relationships and sex. And most people I know, when they finally start exploring these areas, find at least a sense of dissatisfaction, if not total disgust, in themselves and in their sexual and relationship history. And for many, it seems easier to deny these problems and continue seeking bodies for sex and unfulfilling relationships. For these individuals, the answer truly may be eroticizing safer sex and condom use to at least save their lives and the lives of their partners in the meantime until they do awaken. To only focus on the mechanics of sexual activity, however, I think in terms of safer sex issues is a real crime in and of itself. And what we've talked about tonight actually goes well beyond sex. What we've been talking about tonight is the difference between just surviving or having a relationship or making love, and sex is just one way of making love. Expressing our natural desire for connection or making love in any form creates a sense of union instead of separation. And when a person is willing to see it as such, this moving towards a deeper state of intimacy or union in one's life, it allows a deeper spiritual connection. It brings a deeper sense of peace and a more profound sense of safety and returns us to a familiar time of innocence, a time when we were newborn, before the fearful adults around us had time to impose their limits on a child's natural connection with spirit. We have never lost this, and it is not so hard to reconnect with it. It only takes willingness to start the learning process. That's what this show is about. There's one more letter I want to read. Actually, it's also from the Lesbian Times. It's a advice column by a psychologist named Dr. Jane Drucker called Ask Dr. Jane. And it's called Valentine Blues. Dear Dr. Jane, how can I keep from being so depressed every February? As soon as I turn the page and see another Valentine's Day looming, I start to feel sorry for myself. I had a girlfriend for a while, but she left me, and I haven't had anyone else. Signed, Crying Alone. And what Jane says, Dear Crying, Valentine's Day can make us feel all warm and fuzzy, or it can make us feel like a cruel joke. If you're looking for the warm fuzzies but don't have a partner this season, use this old recipe for finding love. Give some away. Go to a woman's shelter, a children's home, the hospital, an animal rescue facility, any place else that provides for the needy. You'd be surprised how loved you'll feel if you give it to others instead of worrying that no one is giving it to you. So on that note, I thank you for listening and ask you to tune in again next Wednesday night. Have a good night.
Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, is broadcast live every week at the same time. Thank you for listening.